Friday, June 27th, Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Epistle from the Letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 8 through 19. Brethren, to me, the least of all the saints, is given this grace, to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to enlighten all men, that they may see what is the dispensation of the mystery which hath been hidden from eternity in God, who created all things, that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places through the Church, according to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by his Spirit with might unto the inward man, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and grounded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know also the charity of Christ which surpasseth all knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Haydock Commentary. To me, the least of all the saints, that is, of the faithful, is given this mission by the grace of God and power from the Almighty of working miracles and other miraculous gifts from him who created all things in order to enlighten or bring light to all men, that they may know and be convinced of the dispensation and manner in which God will have this mystery now made known and preached to all the world. The Lord has commanded me to teach and declare his wisdom displayed at this time in the mystery of our redemption, a mystery which for so many ages, nay, even from all eternity, has been locked up in the breast of the Almighty, but which he has at length vouchsafed to reveal. That the manifold wisdom of God and his other divine perfections of mercy, of justice, etc., may be more known and seen executed by the coming of his Son, according to his eternal decrees of sending a Redeemer, in whom they are to believe and have a hope and confidence of their eternal salvation. Wherefore I beseech you, be not discouraged or disheartened at my tribulations and persecutions on account of the gospel, nor at your own, which ought to be a subject both for you and me, to glory in. For this cause I pray and bow my knees to the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity or fatherhood in heaven and earth is named. The Greek word here oftentimes signifies a family, and therefore may signify, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And thus the sense will be that God is not only the Father of his eternal Son, but of all angelical spirits in heaven, and of all men, especially Christians, who are made his adoptive sons in baptism. But here may be signified not only a family, but those in particular who are honored with the name and dignity of fathers, so that the name which they have of fathers, or patriarchs, is derived from God the Father of all, and communicated to them in an inferior degree. This exposition is found in St. Jerome, Theodoret, Theophylactus, St. John Damascene, and others. Christ dwells in us by his gifts, and we are just by those his gifts remaining in us, and not by Christ's proper justice only, as some modern innovators will have it. And this not by faith only, but by faith rooted and founded in charity, which accomplishes all virtues. It is not expressed to what must be referred these metaphorical words of breadth, length, height, and depth. Some expound them of the charity which in our hearts we ought to have for one another, others of the love which Christ showed towards mankind in coming to redeem all. The thought seems borrowed from Job chapter 11, "Thou wilt comprehend the steps of God, and wilt find out the Almighty perfectly." The inspired writer then shows us how the Almighty is incomprehensible. For, says he, God is higher than the heavens, and what wilt thou do? He is deeper than hell, and how wilt thou know? The measure of him is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. The apostle, alluding to these words, prays that the Ephesians may have faith and charity sufficient to enable them to comprehend all that is comprehensible of God. This is how St. Dionysius explains it. But we are not hence to conclude that there exists such a thing as dimension or size with regard to God, for he is a pure spirit. These expressions are merely metaphorical. For by breath we are to understand his virtue and wisdom which extend over all his creatures. See Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, he poured out wisdom upon all his works. By length is meant his eternal duration. See Psalm 101, but thou, O Lord, remainest forever. By height we are taught the infinite superiority of his nature over ours. See Psalm 112, the Lord is high above all nations. And by depth we are shown the incomprehensibility of his wisdom. See Ecclesiastes, wisdom is a great depth, who shall find it out? Hence it appears that the end of faith and charity is that we may arrive at a perfect faith, which may know, as far as it is intelligible, the greatness of his wisdom, his eternal duration, etc. So says St. Thomas Aquinas. The Gospel from John chapter 19, verses 31 through 37. At that time the Jews, because it was the Parashev, that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that was a great Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came, and they broke the legs of the first, and of the other that was crucified with him. But after they were come to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he that saw it hath given testimony, and his testimony is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled, You shall not break a bone of him. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. Haydock Commentary. The Parashev is also called the day of preparation of the Pasch. The Jews, because it was the preparation, that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that was a great Sabbath day, etc. Some pretend by these expressions to prove that Friday, the year Christ suffered, was not the first and great day of the Feast of Azims, but only the day of preparation, and that on Friday night the Jews eat the Paschal Lamb, and not the night before, on Thursday night, as Christ had done with his disciples. But according to the common exposition, Friday is here called the day of preparation for the great and solemn Sabbath, which happened in the Paschal week. There came out blood and water, which naturally would not come from a dead body. Hence it is that the sacred mysteries flow. As often, therefore, as thou approachest the awful cup, approach it as if thou wert going to drink from thy Savior's sacred side, so says St. John Chrysostom. The Holy Fathers say that the spouse, that is the Church, of Jesus Christ, was here taken out of his side while sleeping on the cross, as Eve was from Adam's side while he was cast asleep in paradise. You shall not break a bone of him. This, which was literally spoken of the Paschal Lamb in Exodus 12:46, the evangelist applies to Christ, of whom the Lamb was a figure. The other text, They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, is from Zechariah 12:10, and seems to refer most literally to Jesus Christ.